drive to far side, Johnny scores! Mark Savard! The Boston Bruins are back in it!
He's going in on goal, he shoots, he goes! Tays up with Pavlat Arano. Go right, right, check right to the goal. He scores! A spectacular goal by 20-year-old Jonathan Tays. You won't see any better than that.
Gavrik moves in. He scores! Marion Gavrik steps it home.
Here's Van Riemsdyk. Off the wall with it. Backhander, he scores! There's your answer. To the outside, takes his own pass. Marchand along in front. Score!
And now it's time for the Blue Line on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts, Rob Strauss and John Flacco. Welcome to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco for yet another edition of the Blue Line where we talk everything NHL, dwindling down now towards the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Only four teams remain, and probably within the next couple weeks, John, we're going to have a Stanley Cup episode, I'm sure.
Awesome.
Which should be kind of cool. We're going to break things down here in the first period. I was going to talk a little Eastern Conference Finals, similar to what we did last week, and then the second period, Western Conference Finals, and then third period, some news and some notes, some stuff pertaining to the Flyers. But let's start off with the Eastern Conference Finals and the New York Rangers. This series going back and forth between the two teams. Rangers currently leading 2-1 thanks to a 3-0 shutout win on Saturday afternoon, I believe.
Yes.
The noon start. So both games that were won by the Rangers, you got to hand it to Henrik Lundqvist, just playing out of his mind in the games that he wins.
Yeah, he was the difference maker on Saturday's game, that's for sure. He made a lot of big saves early on, kept them close. And, you know, like we were saying before, that's the MO for that team. He keeps them close, and then they find an opening or weakness somewhere and capitalize. And in this case, it looks like it's, and I think you mentioned this already, but the special teams for the Rangers. They're taking advantage of the power play when they have it. And that's been getting them the edge they need to get through these games.
And not a lot of scoring in these games. And then usually when you get to the conference finals, you don't usually see the 10-3 games that we saw in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals, but you will see tighter games, 3-0, 2-1, things like that. And that's what you want to see at this point in the game. But you mentioned the special teams. Devils are just 1-for-12 on the power play in this series. The Rangers have scored on the power play in all three games so far. So that's what it comes down to, goaltending and special teams once you get to this point in the game. And game four is tonight in New Jersey at 8 o'clock on the NBC family of networks. We like to plug that every time. And
still waiting for my check from NBC.
Yeah, me too. They told me it's in the mail. I'm still waiting for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. So it's going to be a great game tonight. And this has been probably of the two series, and obviously we'll talk about the Western Conference series in a minute, but obviously this has been the more compelling of the two series. And even if there were two good marquee teams still left in the Western Conference, I think this is still the series to watch.
Yeah, I think you see a pretty even team, and every team is looking for that just that little edge to carry them through. I think the back and forth between coaches and players, and now we have a suspension. Mm-hmm. Prost is suspended one game, I believe.
Yep.
And so that kind of is any kind of little edge these teams can get, because I think we find out at this point of the year, these teams are, because of all the injuries and things they've experienced, they're pretty even. So the little tiniest little edge will help get them over the hump. And I think they kind of juggled that back and forth through these three games so far. So
here's what you're really looking at this point. Just to bring everybody back up to speed, Monday, May 14th, which is I believe we did the broadcast on Tuesday last week.
Yes.
So there was already 1-0 in favor of the Rangers at that point. They won game one, 3-0. Wednesday was the next game. Devils took that game 3-2. And Devils are great in that game. Absolutely amazing in that game. And then obviously Saturday, we just mentioned the Rangers again winning 3-0 at the Devils. And the rest of the series works out like this. It's going to be a Monday. That's tonight. 8 o'clock at the Devils, and the series shifts back to MSG for Wednesday at 8, back to New Jersey on Friday the 25th, and then Sunday the 27th if necessary. So you're basically going every other day from here on out. And I have a feeling that this is going to go a seven-game series.
Yeah,
it's got all the makeup of that.
Yeah, we have both teams winning. The other team's building already. We have goaltenders playing well on both sides. You have, you know, flurries of offense in different spots. So you have suspensions. You have, you know, rough stuff. You got everything in this series. And it, like I said, it's an evenly matched series. I think one of the main differences, though, is the special teams. Like you said, the teams at this point of the year are who they are. The Devils weren't a great power play team, good penalty kill team. That part is not showing up.
Their penalty kill got shredded against Florida in the quarters.
Yeah, and they showed up against the Flyers.
Their penalty kill was like 60% or something like that. It was something ridiculous.
Yeah, so you don't. I think that's the one downside, and I think that's why, you know, going into this, I gave the edge to the Rangers, is because you've seen the Devils go up and down in that. They were poor against Florida, but pretty good against the Flyers. Now it's going back the other way, so we don't know what necessarily is going on there.
Just some series notes here, just bringing these up, which are kind of intriguing little notes here. The combination of New Jersey and Phoenix both have had 3 goals through their first 3 conference finals games, the fewest goals in the first 3 games played of the conference finals since Minnesota in 2003, had none.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. Last team to be shut out twice in the first 3 games of the Eastern Conference Final was Montreal by the Philadelphia Flyers in 2010, 3 times in the first 4 games.
Yeah.
Netminding, was the tandem? Were they doing rocking the tandem at that point?
2010, yeah, they had to be.
So you had to be rocking the, was that the Leighton?
Yeah. I think that wasn't a very evenly matched series, though, if you look back on it, as far as the quality of the 2 teams playing. Like, not as close as this one is.
Right, right. New Jersey's power play, as we mentioned, 1 of 12 in the last 3 games. The Rangers, 4 of 10 on the power play in the series. So that's obviously the big telling, you know, statistic that is popping up now for the Devils. New Jersey's 1-8 all time when trailing a series 3-1. How about them apples?
That's not a good stat to have.
That's really not. But on the contrary, they've won 3 of the last 4 series when they're tied 2-2. So obviously tonight, a very, very pivotal game for the Devils. And you'd have to think, if the Devils can't clamp down on this game, they don't win this game, they're in big trouble, because
they got to win a home game. Yeah, they got to win at least one home game to make this a series. I think if they lose tonight, then the Rangers, looking at, we got 3 chances to win a game, 2 of which are in home. They, you know, they sit back, they score an early goal, especially they score an early goal, they sit back with the Lundqvist playing well, Devils won't have much of a chance at all.
And Lundqvist has just been doing what he's been doing all season. Now, they're taking the path less traveled and going to 2 seven-game series.
Mm-hmm.
And what has the makings, as we mentioned earlier, of another 7-game series in New Jersey. So you'd have to think that the edge is going to go to whoever comes out of the West. And at this point, it's looking like it's going to be L.A., which we'll talk about in the next period. But at what point is this going to start taking a toll on the Rangers? Are they just going to finally clamp down and say, hey, you know what, let's get this done in 5, because they have the potential to carry this out in 5 and just be done with it and kind of sit back.
Yeah, and I think tonight will go a long way of figuring out whether it goes that way or not. I mean, I don't see that happening, but yeah, if they come out and they score 2-3 quick goals and sit on a lead, yeah, they could dash the Devils' hopes of staying in the series. I don't know. I don't think that's the Rangers' MO, though. They haven't been that way all season. They haven't really pulled away. Well, they pulled away in the standings early on, but they haven't really, you know, they don't. That's not their MO to just pile on teams and score a lot of goals and do that. They know how many goals they need to win with their goalie. So that's what they shoot for. They try to get leads early, and you know, in the games where they've won fairly easily, that's what's happened.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some Rangers series notes at you, and I want you to tell me which one is the most compelling and which one is going to play the biggest part. You ready?
Go ahead.
For the Rangers, third straight series where they have led 2-1, they lost game 4 the previous 2 times. So both against Washington and against Ottawa, they lost game 4, having the lead 2-1. The Rangers are 9-2 when they score first, which I'm sure as a Flyers fan, you love that stat. 3 shutouts for Lundqvist, 2 in the past 3 games this postseason, had 3 in a playoff career before this year. That's good news for the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Since the lockout, the Rangers are 3-1 series that they have led 2-1. And Marian Gaborik has 2 assists over the last 2 games. Which one's the most compelling? Which one do you think is going to play the biggest part in the series?
I think the most compelling thing is that that they are 9-2 when they score first. I mean, that tells you a lot about their team. The fact that the one that to me stands out as the factor that's going to play a part in the series is the fact that Lundqvist has 3 shutouts. And as you said, was it 3 in total in his career?
3 in his career prior to coming into this year.
That tells you a whole lot.
The stars are aligning for the New York Rangers.
That tells you a whole lot about this series.
I met a gentleman yesterday who is a big Rangers fan. And he was telling me how he remembers when they won the Cup back in 94, and how he used to go to games up in New York when they were $2 a seat or something like that. And he used to sit up in the upper bowl where that was considered the smoking section, and everybody would sit up there and smoke their cigars and have a good time. And he's telling me about how much it's changed over the years. And I told him, I said, this series between Rangers and Devils is very reminiscent for me as a hockey fan, because this is the series that got me into hockey back in 93, 94. When Messier made the, and I believe we talked about this last week, he made the guarantee. We will win game 6. It's actually in our open, one of the audio clips from Gary Thorne. And it's such a great series for the hockey fan. I know the standard Philadelphia Flyers fan, once the Flyers are out, we'll worry about the Flyers in January when the Eagles are out of the playoffs. For most hockey fans, or for most, you know, Philadelphia fans. But for me, this is a great series, and I think it's going to make a great, great Stanley Cup final should the Rangers go on. I think either one of these teams, you could take either one of these teams and put them in the Stanley Cup final, and I think it's going to be an interesting Stanley Cup final against LA.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the Rangers, the goaltending story, the coach.
The 24/7.
Yeah, the coach
thing that they
put
did on HBO.
His personality out there to the detriment of the team, I believe. But that's another story.
And we'll talk about that in a minute.
But, you know, you go to the Devils. You got the ageless Brodeur story. You know, the new coach with the old, you know, changing over the old school system. And these Devils are not the Devils we used to know and all that kind of stuff. So, I there's some storylines there. Both teams are playing well enough defensively to hold their own against anybody. Not to say that they will, you know, they would necessarily win, but we're not going to see anybody outmatched, no matter which team comes out of the East.
And speaking of coaches that are spouting their mouth off, and Tortorella is known for doing this. I think he's been fined twice by the league this season. And there was an issue towards the end of the regular season with the Devils and the Rangers. The Devils putting their quote-unquote goons out on the ice, and Tortorella took kind of exception to that, and he had some pretty strong words afterwards. I think he was kind of walking the tightrope and trying not to get a fine here. And he said that he feels the Devils are using moving screens to free up Kovalchuk while they're on the power play. And he said, quote, "The picking on the power play, set plays, picking on the power play. We want to start discussing officials with the media. I have a long list here." He said that's, quote, "a set play by Jersey, picking so we can't get to Kovalchuk to block a shot. You want some more?" And that's – so he's – if he wins a Stanley Cup this year for the New York Rangers, that means he's taken two teams to a Stanley Cup championship in Tampa Bay in, I believe, 04. Mm-hmm. And for argument's sake, the Rangers in 2012. Is he a Hall of Fame coach?
I think it'd be hard to argue against it if given the dominance of this team, if he follows through for the rest of the year, and given the type of team he took in Tampa Bay, type of franchise that they are, to take them to a Stanley Cup. I think that's a more impressive feat in Tampa Bay than it is here. But then
especially
again,
with the payroll.
Yeah.
But if you look at the offensive talent on that team.
Right, but they were all guys who were in the starting points of their careers, not in
I mean, you go back and you look at that 2004 team for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Top to bottom is solid. Brad Richards, Martin St-Louis, Vinny LeCavalier, Dave Andrichuk.
Yes.
Hobby Boulin.
He was like
a one-hit
yeah.
wonder kind of thing. I mean, it was just a great, great team up and down. But, I mean, again, you look at the Rangers team. Rangers don't have a horrible lineup by any stretch of the imagination. You still have Brad Richards, ironically enough.
Mm.
Marian Gaborik, who the media is really starting to get on up there because he's not – I know the national broadcasters were kind of getting on him for quitting on a play. But that's all erased when you win 3-0, especially when you have two assists in the series.
Yeah.
But Tortorella getting into some – starting to fuel the fire here. And it's obviously a lot of rivalry. Would Tortorella be saying the same thing if it was like the Rangers and Buffalo? No, probably not.
No.
Because there's no – they see each other 8 times a year. So I think it's more of a rivalry thing than anything else.
Yeah, and it's a territorial thing too. You know, you have a very short dividing line there between Devils
Subway
fans
series.
And, yeah, and Rangers fans. So,
speaking of Rangers players, you mentioned that the suspension was just sent down by the league on the Rangers Brandon Prust for his elbow, a pretty blatant elbow to Volchenkov of the Devils. I believe Volchenkov is okay. So that shouldn't be an issue. The issue now is what are the Rangers going to do without Brandon Prust? They just announced that Stu Bickel is going to be taking the spot of Brandon Prust tonight. And it almost seems like suspensions now are the cool thing to do in the league. It's like the hip, cool thing. Everybody's doing it, John.
I think what happened with the suspension is – they kind of dropped the ball early on with the Nashville-Detroit series Weber.
Yeah, Weber.
Weber's hit in that they dropped the ball where it blatantly looked like it was a suspendable offense, and they kind of let him off easy. And then, you know, all hell broke loose in the first rounds of games with fights and people taking runs at each other, and they felt like they had to kind of put a clamp on it, so they went kind of over the top. Now they're at a point where they can't really be objective. It's kind of like, you know, if anything happens, well, it's an automatic suspension.
I think they're erring on the side of caution at this point. Until the season, the playoffs are over, and then I think they have to readdress on a case-by-case basis. But obviously, Brendan Shanahan has been extremely busy being the head of the officials and the guy that hands down all the suspensions. Well, that guy now, but he has to maintain some level of consistency.
Well, the problem is the fines. There's a limit that they can apply a fine to a player for any type of hit that was agreed upon in the CBA. And that fine is so small, it's not big enough to be a deterrent. So the choice is, do I throw that pocket change fine out there, or
$1,000 or
do I right or do I make a point by suspending a player? And at this point, there's no fine out there that's sort of in between or middle of the road or makes a statement. The only thing that makes a statement is a suspension. So that's what you have. You have suspensions because unless they change the fine system or a different way to do this. I think that's what you're going to see because it doesn't seem to be a deterrent to players because guys are still running at people and hitting guys in the head and
Let's just say, speaking of the money on the suspensions, let's just say that you get suspended for a game. That means you're giving up your pay for that game.
Right.
The average NHL player makes what? Do you want to say, let's just say you're an entry player, you make $500,000. Think that's fair?
I think that's a little low, but go ahead.
A little low? All right, so
say $750,000.
$750,000.
Go ahead.
Okay. Divide that by 82 games. That's roughly a little over $9,000 per game that you're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the wrong business. However, that being said, you get suspended for a game, you're giving up, you just handed over a check for $9,100 based on that salary. I mean, that's a super hefty fine. That's a big chunk of change. And you have to wonder if they're going to address that in the new CBA, which is due to expire as soon as this season is over.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to address something to change that system.
They really do.
It's going to be very interesting to see what they do. We're going to get off to our very first break. When we get back from the break, we will talk Western Conference Finals, Coyotes and Kings. You're listening to The Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back right after this.
If you have cancer, you know someone with cancer, or if you are a caregiver to someone with cancer, Clementine Cancer Support Group may be the place for you to come and share with others and learn how they are handling this life-changing experience. They meet the first Tuesday of each month at 10 a.m. and the third Tuesday of each month at 7 p.m. at the Laurel Hill Bible Church, located at 1260 Blackwood Clementine Road in Clementine, New Jersey. For more information, visit laurelhillbiblechurch.org or call the church office at 856-784-6200.
Sterling High School is currently seeking high school and college students with Red Cross lifeguard certifications who would be interested in working as a lifeguard this spring at Sterling North, also known as the former Voorhees YMCA. Students will be compensated at a rate of $10 an hour. Interested students should submit an application, which is available in the general office at Sterling High School during the hours of 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. or call 856-784-1287. That's 856-784-1287.
WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Again, Rob Strauss alongside John Flacco joining us yet again for another fantastic edition of Everything NHL. Second period just underway, and we're going to talk some Western Conference Finals, Coyotes and Kings. And I don't think this series, this whole Western Conference has gone really the way that anybody really predicted. Here you have a 3 seed in the Coyotes going up against an 8 seed LA Kings, otherwise known as Flyers West.
The Flyers West.
And I think it's the only reason that people in Philadelphia even are still remotely interested in the NHL playoffs right now is because you have a dozen ex-Flyers on the team. Some are players, some are coaches and whatnot. But
half a dozen.
Yeah, about that. Six of one, half dozen the other. But it is all very interesting, and the Kings in total control right now. They are up 3-1. However, they did drop the last game 2-0. Excuse me. They're up 3-1 in the series. However, they did lose game 4 at home by a score of 2-0. Mike Smith standing on his head, making some really, really weird coming out of the net a la Martin Brodeur plays, but able to squeak away with a 2-0 win.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a scorpion save, though.
No, he doesn't have a scorpion save, which I think they've that kick save that he made with his legs just kind of flailing up Brodeur was unbelievable. The captain and the longtime Winnipeg Jet / Phoenix Coyote, Shane Doan scores the only two goals of the game to stay alive in the series, and now the series will shift back to Phoenix for Game 5, and the Coyotes have to win out. There's really no who's, you know, what do they have to do? Well, you got to take each game one at a time. It's only happened 3 times in history, NHL playoff history, that a team has come back from 3-0 down to win, Flyers being one, the Leafs being another, and I believe it was the Islanders were the other team.
Yeah.
But quite a bit of work to do for Phoenix.
Yeah, I think you saw the desperation the Phoenix team. It's no coincidence that their leader stepped up and played the game that he did to kind of have them hang on. I think with LA, they're kind of been not coasting, but they're kind of feeling themselves right now, and you know, being home, I think they thought they would, with the players they have not been there before, they would kind of just coast and Phoenix would roll over, and I think you found that happen. But I don't think there's anything in that win that's sustainable that Phoenix can say, yeah, you know what, we can do this against LA all the time. We can win 3 in a row.
To break down the series, Kings won the opener game 1 4-2, came back, shut out the Coyotes. So they took both games in Phoenix in decisive fashion, 4-0. And you go back to LA. LA wins a close one, 2-1. And as we mentioned, Coyotes come back and steal game 4 to send it back to Phoenix. They won that game 2-0. So now you have a 3-1 lead. You're heading back to Phoenix. And here's some, as we did with the last series, you got some news and notes here. Both teams 6-1 in the playoffs when they score first, and the teams are a combined 10-1 on the road in the playoffs. So that does not bode well for the Coyotes. You have to think that this series is completely over.
Yeah, maybe one more game it might stretch out, but I don't think, like I said, I don't think you saw anything there in that fourth game in which Phoenix won to say that there's any kind of change or any kind of way that they played that you can carry over and win 3 games in a row. I think when you watch the Flyers do that to Boston, you know, that coming down from 3 goals in game, was it game 5 or game 4, being down right, 3 goals in the third period and Flyers come back and winning.
Was that in an overtime?
Yeah.
Breyer, wasn't it?
Right, one, I believe it was. They won in overtime, and then that momentum carried over to the next game, and then you saw that Boston wasn't able to kind of recover from that momentum shift.
How their coach was not fired after that series is beyond me. Yeah. I mean, I was just sitting there scratching my head. Not only did you, not to get off on a tangent here, but you're up 3 games to none in a playoff series. I believe was that the semifinals?
That was the semis, yeah.
You're up 3-0 in the series, and I just don't understand how you close that out. And you're up 3-0 in game 7.
Right.
On home ice.
Yeah, there's no way you should lose that game 4.
I was blown away. And you know what? I tip my hat to the Flyers on that one. But, I mean, unbelievable how momentum can shift. So Phoenix can steal. If they can steal one at home tonight, you never know what could happen. You go back to L.A., start getting in their heads a little bit. Phoenix hasn't lost 2 straight over the last 17 games.
I think the only way you get in L.A.'s head is if you put a big number up against Quick. If you solve Jonathan Quick, then maybe
LA's... But nobody's been able to do that yet.
Well, what's the reason why they only lost 3 games in the whole playoffs?
They've only lost 2 in the whole playoffs.
In the whole playoffs, yes. So, yeah. That's the key to the series. You got to solve Jonathan Quick. So no one's been able to do that yet. And I haven't looked at shots on goal, but I don't know how he compares against everyone else in these playoffs. Because I know at one point, even though, let's see,
right now, postseason, he's a 1.46 goals against average, right, with a .948 save percentage. But you look at Mike Smith for Phoenix, he's got a 1.9 with a .946 and 3 shutouts. So they're two very, very good goaltenders on fire right now. And and neither one of those guys were slouches during the regular season either.
Yeah, and you look at the save percentage, Quick slightly ahead of Lundqvist and slightly ahead of Smith as well, but Smith faced a total in 15 games, 551 shots, whereas Quick has only faced 365 shots in 2 less games. So you're there's a little more than just to Jonathan Quick in the series. So I think the fact that he gave up two, I don't know what that says, if it says more about LA's overall approach to the game or just his overall play.
Some more good news for Phoenix fans, for all you Phoenix fans that are listening. Mike Smith hasn't lost back-to-back games since March 1st through 5th, where he went 0-3. That's a span of 26 starts. So that's good news. Shane Doan's starting to light it up. He's got a three-game point streak. Ray Whitney is going to play his 100th career playoff game Tuesday night. And that game Tuesday night will begin at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then that's Tuesday. And then they go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Obviously, game 6 and 7 if necessary. I can't see this game going past tomorrow night. Or the series, rather, going past tomorrow night. I really can't.
Yeah, I think L.A., like I said, as much as you talk about Smith not losing back-to-back, L.A. hasn't lost back-to-back games at all in the playoffs. So I see that I can see them turning it back on. You look at their offensive firepower. I mean, whatever it was in the regular season that kept them from being that. And, you know, granted, they added Jeff Carter late in the series, so you don't know what kind of chemistry. Well, I think we talked about this
man
before.
Had a hat trick in game two, which we did not speak about.
That's right. That's right.
We'll talk about the X-Flyer. You know, is that a nice segue into the X-Flyer report?
Let's talk about the X-Flyer.
X-Flyer report. Let's do it. I wish I had a sounder for this.
We do need
I need something like a horn or something. Any of the old Flyers goal horn or something.
Well, Mike Richards remains on top, tie with Justin Williams with 10 points
Hey-o.
Each. Richards in the edge of goals with 3. And that Jeff Carter is now a total of 7, with his hat trick, a total of 7 points in the playoffs. Each one of those players are a plus in the series, Carter being the lowest with a plus 1. In fact, every member, ex-member of the Flyers in the playoffs still playing, is still a plus. Zubris is a plus 2, Fedotenko is a plus 4 with his 4 helpers, and Lankow is a plus 3.
Wow.
So all ex-Flyers contributing in each of the playoff series for each team. But some more than others. So,
how are you going to feel?
Mike Richards is going to be carrying the cup. He may be doing it in Madison Square Garden, too. He may have that cup over his head. Yeah.
How would that make you feel? Being a Flyers guy, and I'm sure you were a big fan of Mike Richards and Jeff Carter and those guys. I mean, as a fan, knowing that these guys were on your roster this time last year.
Let's back up.
All right, back it up.
Not a huge fan of Mike Richards.
Okay.
At least towards the end.
Okay.
Maybe in the beginning, you could say.
How would you rate him on a scale of 1 to 10?
As what? As an overall?
As a Flyer.
As a Flyer.
Like, prior to throw away his L.A. Kingness.
Okay.
And just judge him from, you can even go from the Phantoms if you want to go from there.
I think you have to say he's an 8.
Okay.
He's an 8. Carter, I would go less because he just disappeared in the playoffs. At least Richards would show up.
Put him at a low 7.
Yeah, a low 7.
7-2.
Yeah. You know, you have to admire the two-way play of Richards. I mean, that's you don't have like, and you know, you watch these national programs and NHL 36, they talk about Richards.
Sure.
His teammates, they just, you know, they love him. He's because they respect that he's a two-way player with the kind of skill that he has. I think if he spent a little less time in nightclubs and corner bars in South Philly, he might have been a little better with the skill, but that's another issue. But, yeah, I mean, he's an overall hockey player, and he gets a lot of respect around the league for his type of play on the ice.
And he's helping this team get it done. Yeah. I mean, that's just a fact. The Kings have won 6 straight, allowing two or fewer goals in each game. So as long as they allow 2 or less, they've won 6 in a row. And a lot of that has to do with, obviously, Jonathan Quick. Other notes for the series. They've won 6 straight on the road in the playoffs. Last team to win 7 straight was Chicago last year. So they can match Chicago's record when they went to the Cup and won against the Flyers back in 2010. Let's see what else we got here. The last team to start the playoffs 6-0 on the road was Colorado, who went 7-0 in 1999. 7 of their games have been decided by 2 goals, in which they are 6-1. They've outscored the opponent 12-5 in the first period. here is not so good of a stat. Here's the yin and the yang of special team stats. You ready? The Kings are 1-for-39 on the power play in the last 8 games.
Yeah, that's not
ouch.
That's not a good number.
That's not so good. However, on the contrary, they have the best penalty killing in the playoffs, 40-of-43 for 93%.
Well, if you're not going to score power play goals, you better not give up many.
So I guess
that kind of evens it out.
It's kind of a wash.
Yeah, it is kind of a wash.
It's a wash. Anze Kopitar, 3 goals, 4 assists during a 4-game point streak. And Dustin Brown has 3 goals in the last 2 games. The LA Kings are 18-1-6 this season when he scores. 5-0 in the play.
Kopitar.
Brown.
Yeah, that line is a force to be reckoned with. I mean, when one player seems to be down, the other one steps up. I mean, Kopitar, I think, more so lately in this series than in the previous series where you saw Brown show his dominance, a couple shorthanders, almost had a shorthander in the last game.
Yeah. Dustin Brown only has 54 points in the regular season. He has 15.
Yeah, I think they were talking about trading him coming into the playoffs.
Unbelievable. Good thing they held on to him.
Yeah, they needed him this year, right?
Absolutely. And Anze Kopitar just playing out of his mind. But he had a very, very good season for the Kings. Mm-hmm. And quietly. And I think that has a lot to do with, and I think I mentioned this in previous broadcasts, that
nobody watches him play.
Nobody watches him play because they start at 10:30 sometimes out here, and we don't see it out east.
And no one in LA watches him play either because...
Well, they are now.
They're there to be seen. People are at the LA Kings games, not to watch a hockey game. But yes, now they are. Now people are paying attention to the LA Kings in LA.
I think a lot of the focus is just to kind of get off hockey for just a second is the mass of humanity that has come across the Staples Center area in the last 4 to 5 days. Because you have the Lakers in the playoffs, the Clippers in the playoffs, the Kings in the playoffs, all around the same time. Not to mention there was some bike race yesterday
that finished at
the Staples Center. So as the Kings game was ending yesterday, you had this bike race that was due to finish at the Staples Center.
But can't you go back in Philly history you probably won't have to go back that far to find something in the sports complex that was similar? And it's happened a lot more often than it's happened. You know, I watched this thing with the Staples Center, and I think, you know what? There were times in the 80s with the Flyers and the Sixers where they were doing this every year with the changeovers and, you know, everybody being in the Spectrum.
But you haven't had 3 playoff games going on roughly in the same...
What you need is unique because the Clippers and the Lakers both play in
that's
the same
only. Yeah, I mean, you can have... I mean, there's been times where there's been... a Phillies game where you're putting in 50,000 people
in the same area,
right? And you have a Flyers playoff game where you're jamming 20,000 people into the Wells Fargo Center. So comparatively, I guess it's kind of I think it's the whole pomp and circumstance of changing over the arena from Lakers to Clippers to Kings and then back to the Lakers.
Yeah, and I didn't realize they have a whole different. Like set of equipment, so to speak, for the different teams.
You have the banners have to change the whole, I guess the whole look and feel.
Yeah, the whole floor is completely different for both teams.
You know, you could get
what's that?
Those little stickers that go in the window.
Yeah, you know, just scratch and peel, right?
Yeah, you could do that. Why
Lakers,
not?
Clippers,
Kings. Oh wait, we need something in six.
We need some ice for that one. That one's a little more complicated.
All right, let's just assume that. The Kings go on and win the Western Conference Final. And I guess we can say the same for the Eastern Conference Final. And I think it's by the time we have our next podcast, which won't be until next Tuesday, because next Monday, the 28th, is Memorial Day.
That is correct.
And we are not going to be podcasting on the 28th. It'll probably be the 29th.
We'll both be eating barbecue somewhere.
Yes, I can assure you that we will both be enjoying a Memorial Day weekend. Next podcast is going to be Monday, the 29th. Now, let's just say... this is an unforeseen certainty that all of the conference finals matchups will be determined.
Yes.
Do you touch, let's say the Kings win, do they touch the trophy?
Given that Richards did it last time, I say he does not touch it this time.
But he's not the captain.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Dustin Brown is the captain.
Dustin Brown. Yeah, I think he doesn't. I think Richards' whole thing was... Yeah, to hell with tradition. I'm going to do what
Skate
I want
around
to do.
For yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he does. I don't think they touch
Okay. Him. All right, let's go. The Rangers captain is, I believe, Brad Richards.
No, Callahan.
Oh, Callahan. Excuse me, Callahan.
No, Callahan definitely doesn't touch it.
Callahan does not touch it.
Does not touch
okay.
it.
go over to the Devils. Who is their captain?
Parise, right?
Yes, correct. Correct.
Zach Parise, he won't. I don't think any Devil ever did.
Okay.
So I say he doesn't.
I always find it interesting.
Who's the one most likely to touch it? Is that what we're looking for here?
I don't know. I always find it interesting as a hockey fan to see the whole superstition. I mean, they do the whole beard thing. They do. I think hockey is the one sport that started this whole trend of the whiteout, which originated in Winnipeg, and now all these teams are catching on. And then
basketball has caught on. You know, the cool one though is did you watch
the yellow and the Pacers?
The OKC game is they alternated sections, white, blue on the lower level.
See, that's cool.
That is cool. That's
pretty
a good
neat.
Variation.
But I want all these fans of other sports to realize where their roots come from. It came from Winnipeg.
Yes.
How about that? Take that, basketball fans.
Well, you know, sometimes a good idea is just a good idea, and people latch on to it.
I'm not mad at them. It looks cool.
Unfortunately, someone thought the Wave was a good idea, and that just won't go away.
Yeah. Gotta get rid of that. I did like the pom-poms of the Avalanche and the Red Wings back in the 90s. Where they had those, like, white pom-poms.
Yeah,
and if you get everybody doing those things at the same time to some music beat or something, it looks really, really kind of neat. But
Didn't somebody do that with towels at one point, or is that football?
Well, I mean, that goes to the Steelers with the towel.
Yeah, but I
towel.
Thought
there
was a white towel thing they did indoor. Maybe someone tried that. Didn't catch on.
Either way, I think it's kind of
You know,
cool.
As the Phillies championship year, they gave out the white towels. And
yes.
The outfielders were complaining about them because they couldn't see the ball.
Wah.
Yeah.
So you're saying nobody touches the respective
conference. Now, I think the guy that would be most likely to touch it, if you had to put a number on it, would be Brown, the young guy.
Okay.
Because I think Callahan, Parise, and who would I leave out? Shane Doan, if that were to come to
Shane Doan. I like how we totally discounted him. We totally discounted Shane Doan.
Poor Shane Doan.
Sorry, Shane, if you're listening.
A former Winnipeg Jet,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shane, if you're listening, we apologize.
Those guys would be least likely to touch it as opposed to Brown. But I still don't think Brown touches it.
I agree. I'm with you on that. And then, again, like we mentioned, the conference finals will be pretty much decided by the time we have our next broadcast. We'll be doing our first Stanley Cup preview. And if it does go to Game 7 for the Kings and the Coyotes, that game will be Saturday. And I believe Game 7, if it goes that far in the Eastern Conference Finals, will be on Sunday. No, would it be – that's a great question.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. We'll have to look that one up.
We'll look that one up and figure out what the deal is and find out. Yeah, we'll be alternating. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We're going to get off to our second break. That horn – you hear the horn? Okay,
there it is.
That's the end of the second period. Done with the Western Conference Finals talk. We're going to get back from our break and talk some news and notes, some random things that have been going down in the league over the last couple weeks that we have failed to mention, some other hockey tournaments going on, and some signings in the world of the NHL. You're listening to Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We are back right after this.
Come join the local youth every Sunday night at Stratford United Methodist Church on the corner of Union and Central Avenues. The youth group is a rapidly growing group, and they would love to have you. The group consists of 7th to 12th graders and meets every Sunday night from 7 to 9 at the church. Come join us weekly for crazy games, live music, biblical life lessons, and some great snacks. Join now so you don't miss out on upcoming camping trips, scavenger hunts, swim parties, and more. For more information, contact Stratford Church at 784-9135. Or Jared Claiborne at 856-287-0717.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station. Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm going to go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
Welcome back to the Blue Line right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Stroud, John Flacco here for the third period of the Blue Line. And as a reminder, if you guys would like to drop us an email, have questions for us, anything you'd like us to talk about, anything we forgot, any mistakes that John made, feel free to drop us an email. Like how I threw that in there? Feel free to drop us an email.
You think I was paying attention.
I know. I didn't think you were. I thought you were like knee-deep in your iPad there. Drop us an email, wshs.radio@gmail.com. That's wshs.radio@gmail.com. You can also follow us right here on Sterling High School Radio on Twitter at Knights Radio. Feel free to follow us for all the Sterling athletic news updates, programming information, anything that's happening right here on Sterling High School Radio happens through Twitter at Knights Radio, or drop us an email, wshs.radio@gmail.com. Third period about to start off right now, and some news and notes. And ironically enough, we thought the Flyers talk was all over. We didn't have anything else to talk about, but something surfaced yesterday that came across the wire. Five key Flyers are due for some surgery within the next couple days. And I'm going to run down the list here for you of the walking wounded for the Flyers. And I think we mentioned this when the Flyers got eliminated, that usually the injury report likes to come out right after, and then it starts to all make sense. Here we go. First and foremost, Claude Giroux. Both wrists are banged up. His right wrist, he's getting some, he has torn cartilage, and his left wrist, he has bone spurs. So he's going to be on the shelf for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Simmons, a broken left index finger that will require surgery. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Matt Carl, your boy, torn stomach muscle, 4 to 6 weeks. Kimmo Tiimonen, probably the worst of the five here, has to have a disc fragment removed from his back, and that's going to put him on the shelf for 8 to 10 weeks. And you have to wonder, at his age, how much that's going to impact him. Although 8 to 10 weeks, if he gets the surgery done now, will only put him on the shelf for probably mid-summer, I would imagine. And finally, James Van Riemsdyk, a torn labrum in his hip. He is out 6 weeks. So five key players for the Flyers that have to get some repairs done. And who do you worry about the most here? I mean, you have to think Giroux.
Well, you would think Giroux because he's the best player. But, you know, aside from that last series, well, you don't know when he got hurt, but maybe that affected the way he played in that last series. So you don't know. But I think a wrist isn't some type of thing that you see long-term affecting the player. I don't think it'll affect him a whole lot.
If it's one wrist, it's one thing. Yeah. But he's got some surgery that has to be done in both wrists.
But he's not getting that surgery mid-season where he's rusting to get back. He's getting it done in the summer. He can really...
If he gets it done today, he's back by the end of June.
Right. So I don't think that's a bit... The one that worries me the worst is JVR. That's a bad injury. And that could be the type of injury that you may never be the same from. And I think we saw that he wasn't the same kind of player in the playoffs, aside from that first game, but because we had no idea what that injury he was.
He was a very, very quiet player this playoff series.
And you know, we talked about teaming and wear and tear for a guy his size and his speed. That's the type of injuries that kind of accumulate. And one of the reasons why especially if you don't have Pronger next year, you got to really reevaluate where you're going with this defense, because that was not one of their strengths in the end of the season. Matt Carl, he could have had two broken legs. Two bionic legs. He wouldn't have played any better than he does normally. So I don't care about that. And Simmons, you know, broken finger. You got to
rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it.
Easy for us to say. But those five guys are on the shelf for a little while. And again, it's early in the season. As long as they attend to it and don't pull like one of those things where like, oops, it's almost training camp. Got to get some surgery on my hip here.
You want to hear this now, not in mid-July or August.
Right. Exactly. So I believe training camp starts in the beginning of September, right around when school will start up again for us here at Sterling. But the Flyers injury report, get it taken care of now, not a problem come September. Not a big deal. In other news, there is another hockey tournament going on right now in the World Championships. Well, not anymore, but there was, and not really getting a lot of press because the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. But as these teams are getting eliminated left and right, the players are going overseas and playing in the World Championships. And, John, you have some info on the Worlds.
Yes, the World Championship game was played between Russia and the Czech Republic, in which Russia won 6-2, I believe, was the final. But let me throw the lineup out here. Now, remember, these lineups are fluid because of guys coming out of the NHL playoffs and joining their teams late. But how's this for a team that includes Varlamov, the goalie.
Marginal.
Alex Ovechkin.
And this is news to me because I haven't seen any of their rosters. Okay. I've been following it all.
All right, so check out this offensive.
All right. Fire away. Is this all in one line or is this just their roster?
This is their roster.
Okay, fair enough.
Ovechkin, Malkin.
Winning.
Datsyuk.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold on. Semin.
Sounds like my fantasy team.
there's a couple more. Yemelin from the Canadiens.
Okay.
And who was the other one? Zverev, former.
Yep.
NHL playoff.
Sure.
And I think there was one more. And their standout defenseman, who was not an NHLer, was Nikitin. Oh, he is an NHLer. Sorry. Columbus. We don't know anything about him because he plays in Columbus.
Right. And because they only won like 20 games this year.
Yeah, but I watched that last game against the Czech Republic. Now, granted, they play on a much bigger ice surface.
Do you have the Czech team?
I will pull up the Czech team.
Pull up the Czech team because I'd be very interested to see what. I mean, just that line alone of Ovechkin, Malkin, you could have stopped there. As soon as you said, I mean, you threw in Datsyuk, and I felt like it was like I'm putting this game together or this line together in NHL 12 on the PlayStation.
Yeah. All right. Let me go over the NHL players that obviously are the only ones I know on the Czech team. You have Milan Mikhailik, right?
Okay. Yep.
Erat.
Martin Erat from Nashville.
Correct. I don't know this player. Tomas Plekanec.
Montreal, yep.
Okay. Don't know him. Let's see. From Boston, Krejci. From Chicago, Frolik. From Edmonton, Elias Hemsky.
Oh, Elias Hemsky. Nice.
Yeah. And
who's Chara play for?
He plays for... Oh, wait a minute. Isn't he on the Czech Republic? He is on the Czech
He should
Republic.
Be on the Czech team.
Why isn't he listed?
Maybe he's is he injured?
No. He definitely played. Maybe that's a.
I was gonna say. I mean, that's that something could be where Chara could be. He's like the missing link there.
Yeah, I think that's.
Last I checked, he's pretty good.
That could be an omission by just a mistake on the website. Maybe he came back so late that they didn't stick him in the lineup.
Yeah.
But Chara definitely did play.
But Russia takes the gold
6-2. Is he Czech or Slovak, Chara?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Let me check the Slovak roster because that could be...
But, I mean, you look at those lineups, and these guys are doing a lot to kind of stay fresh and stay in the game.
I stand corrected. It was the Slovak team that was in the championship.
Oh.
Because Chara is on the Slovak team.
So he made it to the big dance, huh?
Yes, he did.
Bridesmaid, but not a bride.
So I'm looking at the NHLers here. Not as many on this team.
That goes to
Chara,
show how many
Hanzus.
X-Flyer report. Yeah.
That's about it. Peter Hamrlik is their goalie. Miroslav Satan is on that team.
Oh, nice. I want him to play for the Devils so bad. How great. Think of that. That's a marketing genius right there. Sign him for like an entry-level deal or something, or a veteran deal.
Hey, wait. Didn't this guy play for the Flyers? Ravojevic?
Bronco Ravojevic? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Adam, can we do the
international
X-Flyers? Next broadcast, that's your
that's
job.
That's going to take a lot of research.
That's
going
to take a lot of research, but you have to do the X-Flyer report for the...
And also Tomas Kopecky was on that team.
Nice. It's a strong team.
Not as strong as the Russians.
But the thing is, you look at these rosters, and most of they're all not household names. It's 75% of them, nobody knows who they are. But that just goes to show how much talent is still overseas that has not migrated over to the NHL yet. They may have gotten a sniff here and there, but there's still a ton of talent over there that hasn't been exposed to the people in the States yet and Canada.
Yeah. I mean, the guys that are coming to the NHL are these really young guys who are sniffed out by everyone from the get-go. So they find their way, you know, they smell the money and they find their way to the NHL. These guys who are playing these other leagues, they're kind of grinding out, even though they might be some really good players. They're not going to change over to the NHL because the NHLs aren't going to take a chance on that type of player coming over. Because if you watch a championship game, it's a completely different game. I mean, you watch...
Ice surface is ginormous.
You watch Malkin and Ovechkin skate on that surface. I mean, they look like mice in a maze. Like, they're just going around people in ways and angles that are just seem impossible. And the speed of the game is just unbelievable. I don't know how goaltenders stop any goals in those kind of series.
Because the good ones are still in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I think at some point in the third period of that game, they went maybe a good 6 or 7 minutes without a stop in play.
Wow.
Just back and forth for a good 7 minutes.
Well, you open
just
up the ice like that, that's going to happen.
Yeah. And you don't see, if you take away the Canadian and the American teams, you probably wouldn't even have any penalty minutes in the whole entire series either.
Speaking of foreign players, some other news and notes. The Avalanche just re-signed Milan Hajduk over the weekend, a one-year, $2 million deal. And you have to think that this is almost kind of a last-ditch effort for the Avalanche. And I didn't know this until I started looking up some of his stats. He played his entire career with the Colorado Avalanche. The entire career. And of his career, 371 goals, 423 assists. He's a plus 108 for a career. And of those, all those goals and assists he has, 246 of those points were scored on the power play.
Yeah, if you go back to those better Colorado teams, and he was a mainstay
late,
in those teams.
Late
I think
90s.
He kind of got lost with the Colorado not being the force that they have been in the past couple of years. So
well, they're a very young,
upstart
team in the Colorado Avalanche. They're definitely, I guess, in a rebuilding phase, as they like to call it. And you have a lot of young talent on that team with Landeskog, you know, kind of being the rookie that everybody's talking about right now. I don't know if he's up for the – I believe he's up for the Calder Trophy. For the top rookie. I don't know if he's going to win, but he may be. So you have to think maybe this is a signing to kind of help be the veteran guy in the locker room to help mold these younger players and you know, kind of shape them for the future. So
yeah, especially when you have a player, like you said, who's such a specialist in the power play and can score power play goals. That's something young players kind of have to learn how to do throughout their career.
Yeah, so I believe that they're candidates for the – yes, I believe it is true. Colorado Avalanche left wing Gabriel Landeskog is up there for the along as well as Edmonton Oilers top – I believe his first-round draft and number one pick overall, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and New Jersey's Devil setter Adam Henrique all up for the Calder Trophy. I would have to think that Nugent-Hopkins runs away with it, but, you know, you never know with these rookie of the years. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I just saw something there. Some a club awarded Jonathan Quick the best goaltender of the year in a vote, which is ridiculous because that's, you know, it's easy to look at it now and give that vote.
What's going to be interesting if the Rangers and the Kings make it to the Stanley Cup final, you're going to have two
the best two goalies in the league for sure.
Yep. Without a doubt. And that's
you can say.
I think that's the way it's going to work out. I really do. I would really – there's so many good storylines, and you mentioned this earlier. There's so many good storylines on the Eastern Conference Finals side of things. There's really not as much on the West. But in the East, you have the Rangers with just the whole pomp and circumstance of New York City and John Tortorella and the NHL 24/7, the Winter Classic, Brad Richards signing him in the offseason and taking what could be three series in a row to a Game 7 – getting to the big dance, that's all great. On the Devil's side of things, you also have the Martin Brodeur. Is this his last gasp with his contract expiring? Is this it for him? This team seemingly came out of nowhere although they were the sleeper, my sleeper pick in the East. They're doing their thing right now. You have an NHL Calder Trophy candidate in the mix. You have Zach Parise, who won a silver medal. Or did he score the game? No, he didn't score the game winner. He scored the game tying goal.
Yeah,
in the Olympics.
What's the name? Score the game winner.
Sidney Crosby.
No, I thought it was from, what's his name, from Calgary.
No? I thought it was, either way, you have some pretty good storylines, but I just think
I wasn't really happy when I watched that goal.
I wasn't either. with all due respect to the Canadians, I really wasn't too happy. But you have to look at both storylines as being good. I think the NHL would really like to see a New York, LA just for viewership. I think it would be great. But I think if we're talking about picks, because we're not going to have, are you still going with your Rangers and six?
Yeah.
And I think I went Rangers in seven.
You said, I think you went seven.
I went
said
seven.
Six.
And you said Phoenix, or excuse me, LA in five. I said LA in six.
No, I think it was the other way around.
Really?
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll see.
I think you went five.
We'll have to go back to the podcast, which are, by the way, nice segue. Shameless plug here. All the previous podcasts are located on the Sterling High School website, which is Sterling, www.sterling.k12.nj.us. So if you guys want to take a listen to those, rather, and check it out.
Tell us which one of us was wrong.
Yeah, which all of our picks from April 6th or whatever our first broadcast was.
They all pretty much stink. But
yeah, they're all pretty much bad. But if you look at
We might be okay in this round, though.
This round, I think we're okay in the West.
Yeah.
East, maybe not so much, but
it's still up in the air.
We'll find out. But anything else that you guys would like to hear from us here at on the Blue Line, feel free to drop us an email at wshs.radio.
Tell us your picks, too. We'll take your picks.
Yeah, at gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our podcast. Tonight, Monday night at 6 o'clock, also going to re-air Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, and then we will post them on the website starting Wednesday morning. So in case you can't make the Monday or Tuesday night broadcast, you can check us out on the web and stream everything from there, because it's technology.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's a good time.
Also, follow us on Twitter, at Knights Radio. So there's a cornucopia of ways to get a hold of us here on the Blue Line. Pass us along, tell your friends, and that'll pretty much do it for this episode of the Blue Line. Again, as a programming reminder, we will not be podcasting on next Monday. That's the 28th due to the Memorial Day weekend, but we'll be back on Tuesday the 29th giving you the Stanley Cup Finals preview. And it should be a great show. John, as always, thank you so much for joining us. And that'll wrap it up here on the Blue Line. We will catch up with you next Tuesday, May 29th at 6 o'clock, right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Thanks for listening.